people realize the significance of that temple ceremony, will allow you to be an eternal family, to be together with God. And I hope you look back at that and realize it's on Sunday. So, ready up to the church time to close and give the family prayer now and following that.
His covenant and having his garments unspotted from the sins of his generation. We rejoice, Father, in the association that we have enjoyed in 8 long years. We rejoice that when our beloved patriarch and brother takes up this body here with us once again, it will be without spot or blemish. It will not tremble. And the only pain or sorrow to which he will then be subject would be because of our failure. May we this day, Father, highly resolve to put our own lives so in order that this separation, painful though it be to us today, may be but temporary. Comfort our hearts. Peace and joy in the knowledge of thy love, and help us to draw together ever closer as a family, that ultimately we may attain that for which thou hast instituted the family throughout eternity. Be with us through this day.
Thank you.
Our eternal Heavenly Father, as we assemble this day to pay our last tribute to a beloved one whom thou hast recalled from our midst, we pray that we might have thy Holy Spirit to attend and comfort us in this hour of sorrow and shock. It is a sorrowful time, Father. But we realize that thy will has been done, and that our loss is in accordance with thy plan of salvation. And through our tears, Father, we rejoice for having known and associated with Francis Emmanuel Anderson. As a husband, a father, a brother, a very wonderful friend, we rejoice and give thanks unto thee for the many happy hours that he has brought into our lives. We're grateful, Father, for this happiness, this privilege, for the example which he has given us. Grant us the wisdom and the courage to follow that example. Grateful, Father, for thy gospel, the way of life that it provides for us. Help us to always so live that we might continue to have thy blessings to be with us. Now, Father, wilt thou allow thy Spirit to abide with us here, to those who take part on the program and these services, to go with us through the proceedings of this day. For these things we do humbly petition thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
On behalf of the family, I would like to express appreciation to you who are here today. Your words of sympathy and your comfort means much to this family in their time of sorrow. One thing that runs over and over in my mind at times such as this is a statement that I read by Elder Dunn. Parting from loved ones is never easy. And yet, we hope that the occasion of this day can help lighten that burden. We want to pay tribute to Brother Anderson for the fine deeds that he has done. I've known Brother Anderson for just over a year when the wards were realigned in our area, and when we first visited there, the comment and the things that Brother and Sister Anderson talked about was their fine family. And I remember most on that occasion about talking about Scott, who at that time was on a mission. And so I think it's very appropriate that he's taking part in this program this day. I think he thought a lot of Scott, and noticed that I was sitting next to him here at he was shaking a little, and yet I hope he looks back at this occasion as one that he can be proud of, that he was able to pay tribute to his grandfather on this occasion. Appreciate the many family members that are taking part today. The family quartet consisted of Sister Janet Anderson, Ruth Dunaway, Richard B. Anderson, and D. Brent Anderson. And we appreciate their participation. I want to say something just about what I believe Brother Anderson contributed to our board. I think he had a spirit about him that all of us could admire. And I remember as he was planning a trip off into California, he had always come and say, I want to be excused from my meetings now, and I want you to know that I'll be at my meetings with my son or whoever I'm visiting. And on his return, he always said, now I've been away, and I want you to know that I had a good excuse. And we could always plan on him and his wife being in their seats at our services. Also, I think he had a keen interest in others. I appreciate Sister Vance being here today. And I know that she looked towards Brother and Sister Anderson to have her at church, too. And I remember just recently, one of the brothers in our ward, 80 years of age, and Brother Anderson was bringing him out to priesthood meeting, and one day he was a little concerned because he said, I can do this fine, but when the winter comes, I'm not going to be able to do this. I think it represents the responsibility he felt towards other people. I think his home teaching companion is one of the speakers today, and he said how much he enjoyed doing home teaching, visiting families and trying to uplift other members of our ward. And his son stated how that when he would visit in California, he didn't want to miss that responsibility, and so would, with his son, do home teaching there. And I believe this shows that even in our golden years, there's a great deal that can be contributed. And Brother Anderson was certainly one who was able to do that. We appreciated the service that he rendered in our ward, and we'll feel the loss there as well. But I know that the time will come when family and friends will meet together again, and the gospel offers us that knowledge that this parting is brief. I leave my prayers with the family that we can gain strength from this and know that the family can be together again. And I leave you this testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Francis Emmanuel Anderson is 86 years old. He was born February 27, 1890, to Joseph E. Anderson and Diantha Thomas Anderson. He was the fifth child of 10 children. He was married June 5, 1912, in the Manti Temple to Eloise Paulson. He had worked in the mines in Carbon County and Mutual as a bookkeeper and a timekeeper for many years. He was a retired warehouse supervisor at Hill Air Force Base. He had served in the church in Mutual in Carbon County as the presiding elder when that area was made a dependent branch, and he served as a high priest in the 61st and 37th Ward, and has had many other church callings. He's survived by his widow, two sons and one daughter, H. Dwayne Anderson and Milton C. Anderson, and Mrs. Ruth Dunaway. He has 11 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren, one brother and three sisters, Mr. Lorenzo J. Anderson, Mrs. Waldo Robbins, Miss Eva Anderson, and Mrs. Leota Packer. Now I'd like to tell you a little bit about my grandpa. And I hope the feelings that I can tell you about his life are the feelings that all the grandchildren have for him. First of all, Grandpa loved his family very dearly, and I can say that he lived for it. Almost all of his conversation concerned the family. He loved his children dearly. He loved his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. There wasn't a moment in any of our lives as grandchildren, there wasn't an important event in any of our lives when we couldn't look around and see Grandpa there. He wouldn't have missed it. Any of our accomplishments were his accomplishments. He felt deeply our sorrows and our trials. He loved us unconditionally, even when we oftentimes didn't deserve it. He felt deeply our need for him. And there wasn't a one of us who couldn't go to him for support. Personally, in my life, there hasn't been a time when I don't remember Grandpa being right there. He loved deeply his garden and nature. The changing of the seasons were a thrill to him. His yard was immaculate. It was one of his trademarks. He would visit the family regularly, made a point of seeing all of the children and all of the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren when he could, even though we lived throughout the country. And there wasn't a time that, if it was the spring or the summer or the fall, that Grandpa would come to visit someone, that you wouldn't see him puttering in the garden and trying to make things look better. Among the family and everyone else, Grandpa was known for his wit. Even when times were rough and when there was a great deal of sorrow, you could count on Grandpa for smiling. And you know, even though we're sad now, I think he's glad that we miss him. But I don't think he wants us to be sorry because he died. I'd like to just tell you two incidents that I hope will make you happy, because he'd want them to. I'd like to read you first a poem that he gave my mother before he went in for his first surgery about a month ago. And at first it kind of bites, but this is just typical of Grandpa. I dreamed death came to me last night, and heaven's gate swung wide. St. Peter stood with kindly grace and ushered me inside. And there to my astonishment stood friends I knew on earth, friends I dreamed unfit, of little worth. Indignant words sprang to my lips, but never were set free, for every face showed stunned surprise, not one expected me. I recently, this last summer, I had a chance to sit with Grandpa and spend many hours and have him recount to me his life. And one of the cleverest things that I remember him telling me was how when he was a boy on the farm, it was his responsibility to see that the cows were brought in from pasture at night. And there was one old cow that was very gentle, old Grizz, that he would ride home every night. And he said one night he was riding home and there was a new family that had moved in down about a mile or so from their farm. And he was riding old Grizz home. And this new family happened to have a young girl there. And she saw him riding the cow home and pushing the other cattle along. And this young girl was out on her back porch and just laughed at him. She thought that was the funniest thing she'd ever seen. And just stood there and laughed at him. That's who said that. He said, you know, I fixed her a wagon. 6 years later, I married her. Just one other thing. I had many, many things I wanted to tell about Grandpa. He went to the Snow Academy. He wanted to go into bookkeeping, but couldn't because he had to take care of the farm. He couldn't finish his school. But he loved his family. And especially, he loved the Lord. And it wasn't just with words. He loved the Lord in action. There wasn't a calling that he had that he didn't consider the most important responsibility that he had to take care of at that time. His home teaching was vital to him. And I can remember many, many times when Grandpa would ask me to go home teaching with him so he'd be able to finish it, so he could have the responsibility, so he could fulfill his responsibility to those families he home taught. He loved the Lord deeply. And I remember just, it was a week and a half ago, he took me to his side and said, you know, Scott, I've suffered a lot through this. It's been very painful. And I wouldn't have endured it if it hadn't been for the Lord. Grandpa always gave credit to the Lord. And I know he's happy now. And I know that the most important events of his existence are taking place right now. And he wants us to be glad. And you know that. So I'd like to leave you these things and bear you my testimony that I know the Lord lives. I know there's a resurrection. And Grandpa believed in it. I hope I can know it with the assurity that he does and that he did. And I leave you this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. My beloved brethren and sisters, I can say amen to what Bishop Hyde and Scott has said. And I will endeavor not to repeat some of the things that they have said, but I concur wholeheartedly in it. And the desire to say to you today that there is no place on the face of this earth that I would rather be than right here at this time, paying honor to a man whom I have loved for many years. The words of that of Alma the Good Nephite prophet, he said, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the desire of my heart. If I had that desire, that the Lord would loose my tongue, that I would really be able to express to you the love that I have had for him and Anna for over 35 years. It has been a great experience for me to have associated and loved him." Scott brought out the wit of Brother Anderson and that he was always what he was. He didn't pretend to be something else, which I have a little poem that I would like to repeat that I think that the way he felt, it's entitled "After I'm Gone." "I know that someday I'll pass on, as all men must leave this earth, and when I do, this much I ask, don't lie about my worth. For after death, friends always say things which aren't quite true. So when I'm gone, don't build me up, my dears, I beg of you. When I have passed beyond your reach, though you no longer see my faults, they'll still be there, for they're a part of me. If you like me with my frailties now, why change me to a saint? Please just be honest and don't say that I was what I ain't." And this was the way Brother Anderson felt. He didn't want us to say things about him that weren't true. And nothing has been said today, in my estimation, that was not true. And the things that I shall say, I can bear witness to you that I know them to be true. I don't know of a man who is more humble, more kind, more respectful than he. Whenever he addressed me, it seemed as though he was treating me with the greatest of reverence. I don't know of any time that he ever addressed me, for the last 20 years at least, when he didn't say Bishop Porter. And it had a tone of reverence, which he seemed as though he really revered me, and I certainly did him. I have never seen that man fail in an assignment that has been given, no matter what it was. He always had the same philosophy as that great philosopher, when he said, whatsoever duty thou assignest me, sooner would I die a thousand deaths than forsake it. And that's what he would do rather than forsake his own teaching. And his high priest group leader responsibilities. He served in that capacity when I was bishop for many years. And never once did he ever fail carry out his responsibility. And it was a sad day when he was released. The one thing that I really enjoyed about Brother and Sister Anderson was every year of tithing settlement, they would both come in, and they had all of their records there. And would show me, this is what we've earned, this is what we've paid. There was no question when they left that office but what I knew, that they had paid the Lord a tenth of their income. My wife made the comment last evening that when she would go to pick up Sister Anderson to take her to the temple, that Brother Anderson would always come out and thank her for stopping and picking up Sister Anna. That although I'm not able to go myself, I always want my wife to go to the temple. And it has been mentioned of the love that he has for his family. And they revered him. As Scott has mentioned, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. I suppose that the nearest thing that I could say that would duplicate this was Nephi, when he was carried upon a high mountain and he talked to the Lord face to face. And the Lord asked him what he desired. And he says, I desire to know the words which my Father has spoken unto me. And the Lord said to him, do you believe the words of your Father? And Nephi said, yea, thou knowest that I believe all of the words of my Father. And this is the way the family kept. The great joy that came into his eyes as he talked about each one of his children as they received their various callings in the church. What lessons we could learn, my brothers and sisters, from the example of this man which I love so very much. I suppose he and I are the only two original occupants of Grandview Acres that still live there. But we have enjoyed it. We've lived in our same places for some 35 years. We've lived in 6 different wards in 2 states and never moved out of our house. And he's back in the same ward where he was in the early days when he lived in Grandview Acres. So we meet together today, our brothers and sisters, and of course we sorrow, and the Lord expects us to. He says, thou shalt live together in love, and so much that thou shalt weep for them that die, but more especially for those who do not have a hope of the glorious resurrection. But we rejoice today. I rejoice. My heart was moved several times today as I saw people come in and embrace each other, kiss each other, who had evidently hadn't seen each other for a long time. Today, I think that our hearts are more in tune with the Spirit of our Creator than perhaps any other time in our lives. I think that we are closer to our Heavenly Father. When we really stop to think about it, just a few days ago, Brother Anderson was with us. Today, he is in the presence of that God who gave him life, and yet we are here paying homage to him. What greater bond could span between earth and heaven than that of that great spiritual learning that we can learn in such assemblies as this? I enjoy so much, my brothers and sisters, of attending LDS funerals. There is a spirit of peace, that quiet assurance, that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that this is not the end, that we live again, that we will be reunited together. It is a day, I think, that we look deeper into our own hearts than at any other time in our lives and ask ourselves that soul-searching question, am I ready? when that time comes for me to be called back home, that's what we ought to be asking ourselves, I guess. Well, my brothers and sisters, the time is gone, and there's many things that I would like to say, but I know that the family has a long way to travel. So may I just bear you my testimony that I know with all of my heart that God lives, that He loves us, that He hears and answers our prayers. I know that sometimes we don't listen to the answers, but I know this, my brothers and sisters, when all of life's lessons have been learned, and we know all of the workings of God, that in situations such as this, we will know that God knew the best. Sister Anna, I love you, and all of your family, and I pray that God may bless you. I give you my peace, my love, and ask God to bless you on your journey to Ephraim, that no harm or accident will befall you, that you may go there in peace and that you may rejoice as you lay your husband to rest, to be reunited again with him on the resurrection. These blessings I humbly ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Life is sweet because of the friends we have made and the things which in common we share. And we want to live on, not because of ourselves, but because of the people we care. Just giving, doing for somebody else. On this all life's splendor depends, and the joys of the world, and we've summed it all up as found in the making of friends. These are the words that came to me yesterday when Sister Anderson asked if I would make some remarks at the services of Brother Anderson. I consider it a great honor to, in a weak and humble way, pay tribute and respect and honor to a humble and great man. I could ask no more than that the Spirit, which has been with us thus far, be with me in this responsibility and opportunity. As I thought, and as I listened to the tributes that have been spoken, and they are proper, the words came that we cannot consecrate, we cannot dedicate, we cannot hallow this great man, this hallowed and dedicated, the setting in which we live, or the which we meet by the way he's lived. We can have nothing at this point by words, but I thought also there is a great thing we can add, and a responsibility that we who loved him do have. And that is the responsibility and the opportunity to help him to continue to keep the first and great commandment that his father gave him. This commandment, that he might multiply, replenish the earth, and find joy in rejoicing in his posterity. I am sure he has had a great fulfillment of this commandment, even now. But I thought also there is a great thing we can add, and a responsibility that we who loved him do have. And that is the responsibility and the opportunity to help him to continue to keep the first and great commandment that his father gave him. This commandment, that he might multiply, replenish the earth, and find joy in rejoicing in his posterity. I am sure he has had a great fulfillment of this commandment even now, but it's only a beginning. We are paying just a word tribute to Brother Anderson today, and it's delightful and wonderful that his children and grandchildren can participate on this program. This is only the beginning of the tribute that we have the opportunity to pay Brother Anderson. We have the responsibility to allow him to continue to find joy and rejoicing in his posterity. And the great prophet said that wickedness never was happiness, and so we must live righteously, that he might find that joy, that rejoicing in his posterity. He found it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a great testimony of the Savior and of the Master, and he understood his words, and he loved them, and he loved to serve him. And so he kept this first and great commandment, and he taught the gospel to his children, and they lived it, and he found joy. And so this must carry on. This is the way we're going to really pay the important and the only important respect and tribute to Francis M. Anderson. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that has been mine. I am his last home teaching companion, this side of the veil. I know that if he isn't already active in the service of the Lord, that he will be active soon. That the Lord will not leave him without some special and important calling to teach the gospel in the great spirit world. You know, just prior to the Savior's crucifixion, Peter said that he would like to follow the Savior, and the Savior says, "You can't follow me now, but you will follow me after." And of course, we will too. Today we're not going to follow him. How soon? I don't know. But we will follow him. And Peter followed the Savior. It was many years after. But he understood better then the things that the Savior taught him on that day than he did it the day the Savior taught them. Because later in his writings, he wrote some things that I think are worth calling attention to. And he said in his writings, "For Christ hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by the which also he went and preached to those spirits which were in prison." And a little later in the same verse he says, "For this cause also was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit." And so we learn a great truth from Peter that he possibly did not understand when the Savior told him that today he couldn't follow. But he did understand, and he did look forward, and he knew that he was going to continue his ministry in the spirit world just as the Master has showed him. And so I testify to you that Brother Anderson and those who live worthily will be called to minister in the spirit world and to teach the gospel, that we might bring, as Peter said, each other to God. That is the only reason that the Savior sacrificed. That's the only reason for the gospel of Jesus Christ, this great God story. Peter said that he might bring us to God. I hope and pray that we will follow the example, that we will follow his teachings, that we'll learn to love and to serve with a devotion and dedication and blessing in the lives of others that this great man has exampled and taught. a few years ago, I think it was about 1967 or 68, on a Bob Hope special, televised live from Vietnam. I saw something that I've always wanted to remember. There on the side of a bunker looked like it'd been etched with burned, something that burned it into wood were the words, "I cannot think of him as dead, who walks with me no more. For on the road of life I tread, he has but gone before." I bear testimony to you that this is a road of life, that there is no death, it's just the passing with a bated breath. A little strip of sea to find one's loved ones waiting on that other shore, more glorious, more holy, more blessed than before. I thank the Anderson family for this opportunity. I pray that God will continue to bless them, that they will be able to set examples wherever they live, that will bring joy and rejoicing to their grandfather. And as I pay respect to him, I realize that there is no way to pay respect to this man alone. Someone before him, you and I, who must follow after, are the ones who are all involved. And so I pay tribute and respect and thanks to the Anderson family and say, God bless you. May I just use the words of a poet who said, "God bless you. Words are empty things. We speak and think not of our saying, but in this phrase forever rings the highest tenderness of praying. May all it means to all mankind in all its wondrousness possess you through sun and wind and cloud and storm through all eternity. God bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen."
We appreciate all that have taken part this day. Following the service, the interment will take place at the Ephraim City Cemetery. Those who are traveling there will not do so in a formal procession, but travel on your own. And we invite you who are going there. Our Relief Society has prepared lunches that will be available that we'd like you to have as you go there. We appreciate Sister Kendall and Sister Minson of our Relief Society for their help. Thank you.
Come ye this council, let
Our Father, which art in heaven, humbly but with gratitude in our hearts, we offer a benediction upon this service for our friend and brother and patriarch. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation, which offers us eternal life, which breaks the bonds of death. Father, we're grateful that thou hast given us this opportunity to pay a last tribute to someone with whom we have enjoyed association, one whose life here upon this earth was full of influence on others. Father in heaven, we pray that our lives may be ordered, so ordered that we too may be able to be worthy to enter back into thy presence someday, that we may know of a surety that the things which thou hast told us are true. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt bless those of us traveling, that we may travel in safety and peace. We ask a special blessing of comfort upon those of us who require additional comfort, that we may feel the sting of death less. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the things which have transpired this day. We're grateful that we were able to come and share them. And Father, most of all, we're grateful unto thee for the privilege of being here on this earth to prove ourselves worthy to someday enter back into thy presence. Heavenly Father, we offer this benediction upon this service, giving gratitude and acknowledgement unto thee, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.